Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1 o'clock hour live at Chiefs training camp. We're inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. You guys can always interact with us on the text line, 913-586-7610. Before we get to the Royals, let's update you a couple moves happening in baseball. The one you had referenced before the break, but also during the break, as things are heating up, we're a little over 24 hours away from the trade deadline. We know the Royals made a move for Michael Lorenzen. I still think there's another move from them to come before tomorrow afternoon. But one name is off the board, and I think it speaks to the challenge of acquiring any of the bigger names in the bullpen
market.
Because
of who you're bidding against.
Correct. So from the White, we were just talking about the White Sox and would they trade.
Yep.
We don't know if the Royals were talking to the White Sox about Kopech or
makes sense, or Flaherty.
Looks like he is headed to the Dodgers. So one of the top closers available, bullpen arms available, 28-year-old headed to the Dodgers. I don't know the exact compensation package yet, but that's the challenge. Like you're dealing with some teams that have better set up on their farm system and are more willing to trade away pieces. You know, the Royals are a year ahead of schedule. I think they're willing to make moves. We've already seen that. But they're, I don't think, in a position where they're willing to trade any other of their top prospects. Remember, they already did trade in their system the number two prospect, even if it's a weaker system. They already traded Caden Wallace for Hunter Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they had to really give up much for Lorenzen, as we previously discussed. So far, what they've given up for what they've gotten in return, I feel like they've done some, I would say, bargain shopping a little bit, right? They haven't given up some of their top prospects or some of their bigger names. Caden Wallace is not a nobody in their organization, but they haven't given up probably the top 10 guys in their organization in order to do it, which means they still got ammunition if they want to. If they want to, but to your point, the teams they're bidding against right now have some deeper and more established farm systems, just based on where their organizations still currently are. And I think that that's going to make it a challenge to actually win the bid, if that makes sense. And hell, maybe that's why they've gotten good deals done with the Rangers each of the last 2 years, because Chris Young is the guy on the other side. I don't know.
Relationships matter. I mean, look, the moves that we have seen taking place so far, the names are all the names that everybody been bringing up for weeks and weeks. Just now there's the activity is happening, and I'm wondering, thinking about who it would take to even acquire some lesser names because of the compensation that's out there. Like, would you be if I told you the Royals got a Lane Thomas or Ward from the Angels. Would you be fine parting ways with, what is it, Carter Jensen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you okay with doing that? And I don't know if the Royals are.
I don't know that I am.
Carter Jensen, Noah Cameron, I was texting with a friend of mine that follows minor leagues a little bit more than I do. They're like, what would it take to get a Lane Thomas or somebody like that? And Carter Jensen might have to be. Lane Thomas, for those that don't know, he's with the Nationals. Hasn't been quite as good this year, but a really good 2023 campaign.
I will say, Giving up catching depth would bother me probably the least. They are deeper at catcher than any other position in their entire organization. They moved MJ Melendez to outfield 2 years ago because they didn't have room for him at catcher. And their top prospect in their entire organization just got promoted to double A, and he's a catcher. So it's not like, you know, I don't know what the – I'm not saying Carter Jensen can't have a future with this organization, or that maybe ends up being the better player. Being the better prospect does not mean you end up being the better player. I'm just saying that's from a position of strength. They've got strength and possibilities and everything else in between there in those positions. And so I have a hard time not thinking that that's at least something I'd be willing to move. Look, the reality of this past weekend is that as much as I know that they need bullpen help, they're just going to need the starting pitching to win anyway. Like, I don't mean to, like, oversimplify it, because that's not the way we should always look at it. But let's face the reality. This weekend, when the bullpen gave up a grand slam on, like, the second pitch they came in. Now, the bases were loaded, so, like, they were put in a precarious situation. MacArthur was really bad in his last two times out. He has gotten absolutely shelled, and some other guys have absolutely struggled. It's the starting pitching's reason why they didn't win those games. Lugo had a bad outing. Reagan's had a bad outing. They put him in a bad position to not win those games. Marsh was mediocre, and they ran into trouble because, no, they're not a world-beating offense. They've had, like, the 10th best offense all year, 12th best offense all year. No, they're not the world's best bullpen. They've been, like, the 20th best bullpen for the last, like, 3 months combined. You know what they have been? The number three, number four, number two starting rotation the entire year. If you get a mediocre start out of your starting rotation, the odds, I think, of you winning are less than 50-50. That's what happened yesterday. Reagan's didn't go deep enough. He didn't pitch long enough for low enough runs. And then they lost the game. Was the bullpen bad? Sure.
And that's where Michael Lorenzen potentially could help. We'll see as time plays out this season. But if he's someone that provides some length to the bullpen, if you need multiple innings, or if he just flat out has to be a spot starter, if you get to that inning threshold with any of these guys, really, just about any of them, to where you need a spot start. And J.J. Piccolo, I'm not going to play the whole audio again. It was like 6 or 7 minutes, but he kind of alluded to that, Cody, that with days off, they got more days off this second half of the season and all that. But if they do have an instance where they need a spot start or someone needs to be skipped because innings are becoming concerning, he's someone that can slot in. They really don't have anybody else that could do that right now, because we've seen, like, a Bolin, for example. That's not, you know, we're past that. I think we kind of know what you're getting there.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, to the point that I'd rather Lorenzen start.
Yeah.
Because there was a time this year when Alec Marsh went down after that line drive hit him in the forearm, where they did have to make some spot starts. And they went through several different guys. They gave Daniel Lynch
Carlos
a shot.
Carlos Hernandez. His ERA is like 18 in the minors in the last
and,
month.
And Jonathan Bolin. They went through multiple guys. Lynch, Hernandez, Bolin. And what did it bear? No fruit. None. They were back in the same position they were last year, which was when the fifth starter spot came up. I hope you're scoring 9 runs today, because that's the most likely scenario in which you're winning this game. And so Lorenzen provides them all the depth. The thing with the pitching stuff, with the innings, I don't know that I would be fully against a 6-man rotation for like 2 weeks. Where you do
maybe
it.
Maybe that's one of their options they're considering.
Where you do it, Gold, in a way that you essentially cut out, you do it twice. You do it once now, and just as long as you're still in a good playoff position, you do it once again in September, where you essentially eliminate 12 innings off of everyone's bottom line by getting them one less start per month over the next 2 months. You just buy a little juice. Ooh, a skip start, or just I'm starting every 6th instead of 5, and it just slows everything down, and maybe a shave 10 innings off of everyone's bottom line by the time the season is done. I wouldn't be totally against that. I wouldn't mind seeing them make another move, and part of the reason now is, Gold, now they're fully in aggressive mode. They've made 2 moves, both to add. So part of me is like, if you still think there's a weakness on the team and you can get it for the right price, keep going.
Yeah, that'll be the next move, if it happens. Feels like it's happening much closer to the deadline. Like in a weird way, like I'd almost be surprised if we woke up here in 3 hours and they had a move. I think it's now, tomorrow, inside of, you know, an hour or so of the deadline, might be the next move that the Royals make. And I don't think it's the last one. Lorenzen, I've been saying it throughout the show. I think whether or not people like the trade or not, right? That's going to be up for debate, and who that player is that they acquire and who they give up, but I think they're making another move, whether it's an arm or an outfielder. I would just be surprised if they stand pat with the 2 moves that they've made. And 2 moves that, if you view the need, they both have been potentially bullpen arms. One for sure, Harvey. The other one might be a bullpen, might be a starter. That's exactly what I wanted them to do, in fairness. Like, for the last month and a half, talking about trade assets, yeah. And I said, hey, more than bats, I want arms. And
well, you've gotten two, they agree with you.
You know, so if the next move is
a corner outfielder that
pick whoever, you know, whatever name you like, you know, again, we already threw out
Taylor Ward,
Lane Thomas, somebody like that, then so be it. You know who's off the board, though, now, right? You do know some of the guys that we had, that no more Jazz Chisholm being linked. That's all done. He's on the Yankees now. No more Kopech and that kind of stuff. That's all done at this point in time. I will point out, thinking of the Royals, though, a reminder later on today during the drive, Hall of Fame third baseman George Brett going to be joining Carrington and Rob at 4 o'clock today. I'm sure they will discuss Bobby Wood Jr.'s trajectory and what he's been able to do.
I'm assuming that's part of the recent, I asked you the other day, I said, can he be the greatest Royals ever? You're like, I mean, maybe, but we don't have to talk about it yet.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it's not unfair. He's in his first absolute breakout year as a superstar. And so, because last year he was really good, but this is his superstar year. When they put up the stats, I don't know, it was yesterday's game or the day before, and it was like, and then Nick Capel sent it out and said, all right, Bobby Wood Jr.'s stats since his Grand Slam. So he's played 162 games since his walk-off Grand Slam, which was like his coming-out party last year, right? So he's played 162 games, a full Major League Baseball season since he did that. And he leads the majors he's like second in extra base hits, leads him in on-base percentage, he's third in stolen bases, he's first in OP. Like, I mean, it's just like he's top five in every single statistical category on the planet. Honest to God, sometimes when I look at this year's stats, I'm like, damn, I kind of forget sometimes. You're hitting like 335 or 330, which is an impressive batting average in an era of baseball in which batting average people don't even care about. He's got all the other stats, too. But batting average is the stat that people have like buried as being way less important than they used to think it was.
So George Brett, a little bit later on today, going to join the drive. This text from the Jay Southland Toast Service text line. See what you make of this. This is from the 816. Someone says, they being the Royals, should be selling. No one's willing to have that talk. Let's have that talk.
Interesting.
They said they could set themselves up for years down the road if they just unload a few guys. I would love to. Who would you, first of all, individual name, who would you be willing to part with? And then the other part is, this team is currently occupying
a playoff spot.
A wild card spot.
Are they in a depth of the game last night? I didn't look.
I admittedly did not wake up this morning and check the standings, admittedly. So,
I have been doing that a lot lately.
I just firmly disagree. Now, we could argue, like, should they stand pat instead of trading away anybody? But I'll point out right now, specifically the Michael Lorenzen trade, they gave away Walter Pennington. I mean, with all due respect to him, they didn't give up anything. You want to argue about Caden Wallace? That's fine. That's fair. But Hunter Harvey is not just about this year. He's also about next year. So that, to me, pushes back on your theory of like they're getting someone that's going to help them next year as well, potentially. Selling, I just disagree. What message does that send? You know, and the window that they're in right now, it's not, hey, have to do it this year, but it's also not a guarantee that in 2 years that they're fine. Yeah, the core is here. We think.
But maybe Savvy's older, you know, or maybe they don't get Vinny resigned.
I think you capitalize now when you've got Seth Lugo having a career year, when you have Cole Reagan's pitching as well as he's doing, Brady Singer having maybe a career year. All this, it's not to say that some of them can't replicate a little bit of it next year. Nobody's saying to go trade away every single prospect, and they haven't. They're being very judicious, clearly, how they're going about this. They're not getting in a competition with the Dodgers or the Yankees for Jazz Chisholm. There's definitely a line they're not willing to cross, and I think that's smart because there is a balance. You know, they don't have to be ultra-aggressive. I think they're doing a good job of walking that line right now.
Look, if they were to go sell, it would be, all right, they trade MJ Melendez or Hunter Renfroe, right, would probably have some interest based on the way he's been hitting, and people are always looking for corner outfielders. And then you'd have to really have a serious conversation about trading one of your starters. Like, are you willing to move on from Brady Singer? Are you willing to move on from Seth Lugo? Are you willing to move on from guys that really...
Well, in the offseason, let's have that conversation. Like, right now, like someone on the text thinking they should trade Lugo right now, like...
I don't want to do that.
I just firmly disagree with that.
And I get it. Like, the argument is, I'm selling myself everything for the future. But what you're talking about is a plan.
The team's here right now, though.
4 years. 4 years. And they've spent the last 9 years trying to get back to this point. I'm not in a sell mood. Yeah. And look, maybe that's wrong. I understand your part to be like, hey, they're not fully there yet. I agree. But I would made the point.
What is fully there? Like honestly, on the text line, like what's
the Astros?
What's fully there? Because it's about getting in the dance and seeing what happens. Yeah. If your argument is, well, they're not good enough to win the World Series. One, anything can happen, and two, like no kidding. Nobody's saying that they're a move away from winning the World Series. But by that lot, this team, as you said, they haven't been in the postseason since 2015. And we're going to have an argument of, well, they're not good enough to win the whole thing anyway, so I'll go another 4 years without them being in the playoffs. BS. I call BS on that.
I don't want to live that way. I just don't. And I look, maybe that's a selfish line of thought, but when they've been trading pieces year in and year out, that was for this.
Yeah.
If they just keep trading pieces forever, well, then when are they going to actually buy so that I can assume this team's got a chance? In 14, they weren't supposed to go to the World Series, and they did. Last year, the Diamondbacks weren't supposed to go to the World Series.
Wild cards.
And they did. You just don't know when your window is going to be in baseball. And when you have a chance to be in a playoff spot, which they are right now with, whatever, 55 games left to go or so.
And still with the young group, I think you have to continue to show them that you're with them here.
Like, that was the whole speech they gave to Bobby Wood Jr., by the way, which is of note to what you just said. If you want Bobby Wood Jr. to be a 20-year player here in Kansas City, you better never stop proving to him that you care about winning, because that's what they told him when they gave him almost $300 million in order to stay here, was that part. And watching the team last night, I have come around on one thing. You and I have listened to a lot of people suggest a lot of names in the bullpen, because it's always just like, who's the next guy they'll go with? Like, well, I want Sam Long, and I want Walter Pennington, who just now got traded, of course. People have mentioned 1,000 names at closer, and I'm like, guys, they don't have a closer. I have officially warmed up to the idea of trying out Bubich there.
Okay.
He is dominating. Of anybody in the bullpen who has not shown a weak inning yet, and they are very limited innings, and I am understanding of that, Chris Bubich has dominated. So if there's a guy in line for the show me the new closer and give him, like, 5-6 good cracks at it, it's Chris Bubich. I've talked myself into that one, and I was like reserving until he got a few more innings in. But now that I keep seeing him dominate, I'm interested.
Every option should be on the table at this point with the struggles that you've had. I mean, I think that's fine. I don't know anybody that'd be against that necessarily idea. I think we just have to caution ourselves and be like, that he's just going to come in and be, let's have reason expectation what he's going to be as a closer. If all of a sudden
Still saying he's not Kenley Jansen, he's not Mario Rivera.
Yeah,
I'm just saying better than all the people they've had close so far.
People think I only defended MacArthur because of our thing, but let's flip the names. Let's say now it's Chris Bubich. If he gives you 6 straight outings, guys, and he's great, and we're all like, let's go.
And then
he has 2 rough outings. Are we just giving up? You know what I'm saying?
That's
where I'm at. Like, let's just have reasoned expectation. Take the names out of it, and let's be realistic about what we're expecting from homegrown bullpen guys now at this point in time. They didn't trade for one of the best closers from the White Sox, or could be a best, you know, a good closer. Like, that guy is not out there right now, and not probably coming. So they're going to have to do in-house
options. Have to be creative.
And be creative with it.
If there's one guy on this team right now, though, that you think is most likely to be a, let's call him a top 10 closer in baseball the rest of the way, the last 2 months, I think it's Bubich. I think it's fairly obvious.
I think you're right, but also, if we're being real, isn't that just a product of the struggles from, because a week ago, everybody wanted Sam Long to get that chance.
Most people did.
He had a couple rough goes, and now everybody's forget him, you know. We obviously had the MacArthur thing.
He had one
Hunter Harvey has been rough, you know, at times, like, in terms of would you feel comfortable all the time?
People mentioned Schreiber to me at some point this year.
Will Smith early on in the season was the closer. We forget about that.
Nobody mentioned his name to come back, I guess.
No, it's like the backup quarterback thing. I haven't seen you fail, so make him closer.
Yeah, I'd like to think that it means a little bit more of me saying it to you than just anybody else, because I've been mostly in your camp. To this point, Gold, I have not been like, let's shuffle the deck chairs around. I've told you, I think most of their relievers are average. And when you put 6 average relievers in time, the most important thing is that all 6 do not have to pitch on the same day. Or hell, even 4 have to pitch all together on the same day, because the odds of 4 average relievers having their best day all at once. It's weird with MacArthur, because I saw someone put out the stat, which I still think is incredibly misleading. And no, not only just because we did MacArthur's 9th Infantry, but someone put out the stat that said of 143, I think this is the number, 143 qualified relievers, he now has like the 14th worst ERA. Do you know how deceptive that is? If I had made you give me that stat 4 days ago, he'd have been in the top 35. It's a deceiving. Yeah. He got his ass kicked.
Yeah, the reality is he's been awful this month. Yeah.
Yes, and they got to figure out whatever the hell went wrong with him, because something's wrong. And he's not the same pitcher he was a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But also to just try to make it seem like he's been one of the 10 worst relievers in all of Major League Baseball is not true. He went 9 scoreless outings out of his last 10 right before these two. And he went 7 scoreless out of 9 the outings before those. So, like, for the most part,
I mean, but then, I mean,
now,
at some
now
point,
he's broken. Now
at
he's
some point,
fix
it is reality now. I mean, I do think if we were to back up and they had a legit closer already, and MacArthur was just your 7th or 8th inning guy, and I know there's some leverage stats that somebody would point to and say that's not true, but if we were to back up and he was just the 7th or 8th inning guy, I think fans' sentiment around him would be so much different.
And here's the truth. If they had the best – who's the best closer? Class A? Who's the best closer in the league this year?
Yeah, I would – him or the kid that got hurt in Oakland.
Okay, yeah, or maybe, I don't know, Kenley Jansen seems like he just never ages. Yeah. He's one of the top closers in baseball.
But Class A was led the league in saves last year,
So let's just say if they had Class A, they'd be leading this division. And so I understand the frustration. Mm-hmm. I told you, honest to God, when I look at these teams comparatively, there is not – the more and more I think about it, there is not a massive difference between these teams. The Guardians do not have an elite-level offense. They have elite-level players, amongst other pretty good players. The Guardians' starting rotation is significantly worse than the Royals, but their bullpen is significantly better. If the Royals, run differential is really close, has been really close all year long, runs per game, runs given up per game, there's a lot of stats that say the Royals and the Guardians are relatively comparable teams. Mm-hmm. The biggest differences between these two teams for me is there are let's say 5 times, because that's how many games they are back in the division. There are 5 times this year that the Royals' bullpen blew a game that the Guardians' team wouldn't have.
Right.
So
that's
I understand the frustration over the bullpen. I do.
Yeah, I mean, and someone pointed out on the text line, too. It's true. They're like, despite the lack of success recently from MacArthur, it is true. He still has had more success. Now, you can say, oh, he had more opportunity, but he still has had more success closing than anybody else on the roster. I'll just say that. And that's I mean, it's just we can say it sucks.
He's been better in the ninth inning than any other.
Yes, you know.
Should we pull those back up again? We looked up those stats once. Him in the ninth inning versus him in the other inning.
That's not good.
Look, he just
flat out hasn't been good. I still think at times the narrative was set so early on the season about him that people were waiting for a moment because he went a whole month. We pulled up the number. He went a whole month where he was actually really, really good, a month and a half.
Yeah.
And then he's been awful. But that month and a half, the narrative was set. And before that, and so people were waiting for the moment for him to fail, unfortunately, and it was an easy thing for people to pounce on. So it's reality of where he's at now. I get it as part of the game, but I think if we're being fair, we can acknowledge at the same time that...
Oh, he's been awful these last two games.
Well, no, that, but just that the narrative was also set on May 7th. He gave up a home run or whatever on May 7th, and from that point on, everybody thought he sucked, even though he was good for a month and a half. But he obviously cannot be the closer right now. They got to have somebody else do that.
In the ninth inning, he's got a 4.76 ERA, which is unacceptable. I'm not denying that. And in the eighth inning, he has an 8.64. Woo! Eighth inning, not good for old James MacArthur. 0.00 in the seventh. Problem solved. He's pitched one inning.
There you go. Someone says, can we just sit back and enjoy that? You guys are at training camp, and we're talking Royals playoffs.
And we
That's true.
And we care.
And it matters. Obviously, the disagreement everybody's having, this is why. Before, you guys wouldn't have cared. That's how we know it's real. We're all differing viewpoints on certain moves they are or aren't making.
We're fighting.
And the fact that, it's a warm day in St. Joe, that's putting it nicely, and that we've talked more Royals today than Chiefs because the Royals made a move.
By the way, Drew's not here. He's out of town. Q's back in the studio. Drew's in the outer
bank. Has Q still not gone to McDonald's, or did we sort that out?
I don't think he ever went, but... Gold, Drew talked you into. He kept calling
Frog Togs.
Frog Togs.
That's the name of the
brand.
He
talked you into these towels in which you dunk them in cold water.
By the way, tell me it doesn't feel good.
It does feel good.
It feels good.
I'm not gonna lie.
During the break, you put up, even now, put on your forehead, man. It feels incredible. You know? And it's not, you wrap around the neck.
Are you going to give him the proper?
I will when he comes back. It also has slits there where you can tie it like a bandana around your forehead. I'm not going to do that.
Around this for?
I think so. Yeah, that's what you can thread the towel and tie it off. You can also choke yourself accidentally.
Easy.
So
I almost made a joke. I shouldn't.
Don't do that. Don't
I
do
didn't.
That.
I changed my mind.
Don't do that.
I changed my mind.
But no, I brought two of them. I was thinking of you. You know, I brought two towels.
That.
I could have taken both and sent them selfish. I did not. Brought two, and I'll bring these back on Thursday. You know, it says you do a little machine wash, and then you clean them up, and then you redo it all over again. You just keep pouring cold water. I think they work for a while. These are pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, they're nice.
Whoever invented these, smart move. They've been around for a while. They were sold out at the store. I had to Amazon them and get them dropped off by 6:30 this morning. They arrived at 6:30 this morning.
Heat wave in Kansas City, you know?
That's right.
I mean, is it hotter in Kansas City or here in St.
Joe? It's warmer down south than here, even. And it's hot here. But, yeah, it's even worse in Kansas City.
Yeah,
Kansas City.
Yeah. It's fine. I plan on staying inside the rest of the day. I don't know about you. But
Yeah. Has no intention. I mean, I got to walk the dog, which is going to be brutal when I get home. The only good thing about the heat, I'll say this, you got to be careful, obviously, with dogs and the weather like this.
Sure.
But a short little walk, like a short walk, and she's beat.
Your dog's spent. Your dog's old, too, though.
Yeah, she's moving around fine. She's 11, though, man, and next month. I know, it's crazy. She'll be 11, but she moves around. I give her some arthritis supplements, and she doesn't have any issues as long as she's on those. And knock on wood, man, she's moving around all right.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Up next, we continue broadcasting from camp here inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. We'll get to what's trending. Plus, you'll hear a conversation we had with Chiefs rookie tight end Jared Wiley. We asked him a little bit about his college days, plus what he's seen so far at camp.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, we continue broadcasting from Chiefs training camp. We had some Royals news, though, right before we hopped on the air earlier today. By now, you guys are probably aware, and Michael Lorenzen is now a member of the Kansas City Royals. Comes over from the Texas Rangers. He was an all-star last year, 3.81 ERA and 18 starts this season. Lefty's hitting just .144 against him. Now, in the month of July, his ERA did balloon up to 5.49. JJ Piccolo talked to the media earlier today and says they don't know for sure what role he's going to have. Did acknowledge that he's going to start games for them at some point this year. We just don't know if that's going to be right away or could be in September when they need a spot start. But they give up Walter Pennington, the 26-year-old minor leaguer who made his MLB debut. Really cool story. At Rocky Coors Field for the against the Rockies in front of his family, which was neat, and he pitched great in that outing. But I think it's pretty clear that you're acquiring someone that might be able to help you this year versus a guy that probably didn't have long-term
or at least wasn't
benefit
happening this year
to your organization.
Yeah, I mean, he was a complete unknown commodity. He had broken through and done a good job in getting to the majors this year, but there was still work to do. Next up on Watch Training, the MLB trade deadline is starting to heat up. We've mentioned a couple trades that took place earlier. Fetty is heading to the Cardinals in a three-way deal with the Dodgers, with the White Sox getting back multiple big-name prospects in return. The Cardinals also active in getting Tommy Pham from the Chicago White Sox. That about 20 minutes
back.
Ago.
He's back.
And Michael Kopech is heading to the Dodgers in a trade with the White Sox as well. People mostly expecting Flaherty to get down here soon as well. He's been pulled from his starts for tonight. He's been scratched. Not been traded yet, but we'll see. Jack Flaherty.
So of all the names that we've been discussing for weeks, so Chisholm's off the board, Kopech,
Flaherty's off the
Flaherty, Tommy Pham.
So the guys we thought were going to get traded definitely got traded, but obviously to this point, it's been the two names we didn't really mention. I wasn't talking about Lorenzen. at any particular point, and we certainly weren't talking about Hunter Harvey. The Royals, I still think, have done a nice job in those trades so far.
I would agree. I would definitely agree with that. Next up on What's Trending, Olympics are underway. I hope you had a chance to take in U.S. men's basketball team. I thought it was a really good first half. It was
fun. Jason Tatum not playing was very weird.
It was an entertaining product, though. I mean, FIBA rules are different than the NBA. There's some benefit to it. Three-point line is shorter. Just seems like a more aesthetically pleasing game at times. And that's not to say that the NBA is not a good product. But, you know, if you're comparing it to, you know, the college game or something, well, yeah, of course the FIBA product's better. NBA, there's still some benefit to that. I just thought it was a really entertaining first half. Kevin Durant couldn't miss. And the U.S. currently leads the way with 12 medals, tied for 6 with 3 golds. I guess I don't have the last half hour Olympic medal count. But let's see. Here we go. Japan has 12, but they have the most golds. U.S. has 15 medals.
Oh, still the most.
But just 3 golds. So they're behind France, South Korea, China, and Japan in gold medals, but they have, I still think, the most medals, which updated to 12.
15 is still the most medals across the board. But yeah, just 3 golds, 7 silvers, and 5 bronze for the U.S. Next up on What Trending, the NFL says they will allow 12 players on the field in one instance this year on the new kickoff rules. If it is too windy for the ball to hold up itself, they will allow a 12th player to hold the ball during that rather than take them away from the kick return, how it works now, right? One of the guys who'd be going down to cover the kicks would be holding that. They'll just allow an extra 12th guy to stand in there and hold the ball for the kicker. But that's it. Job done.
We have to run off the field. What happens if he doesn't get off the field in time? Is it a re-kick? Is it a personal foul? A legal substitution penalty?
It's a great question. I don't really know what the rule is on that,
because
but I'm guessing, you know, it'll put a little hustle in it.
It'll be pretty obvious if someone's not running off the field.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And I'm guessing it's a re-kick if the team doesn't like the return. Otherwise, they just take the result and add on 10 yards or something like that.
Lastly on What's Trending, Matt Araiza did get in some extra work today.
He did. We did see that. Out here, we were wondering who this person was on the far corner of the field. Nobody else was here.
At like noon, running 80-yard sprints.
Yeah, he's out here, you know, just trying to get a good workout. All we saw were like somebody is shirtless and Chief shorts and looks like he might be in shape. We're like, is it a staff member or a player? And the reason why we couldn't recognize him far away, let's be honest, we haven't seen much of Matt Araiza yet.
I'll know what he looks like moving forward.
Now we're good. Now we're good. So no other team's punter. No other team's punter is out here
in this heat,
running in this heat and putting in that kind of work. Just remember that. Just remember that. That's what's trending.
I really was. I was very. It's like an earworm, you know? I really, really wanted to know who it was. I was glad when you said, just go over there and ask him. I'm like, you know what?
Well, because the curiosity was going to annoy you the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And
then I wasn't going to be good for you the rest of the show because I was going to be so curious who it was.
Just go find out, please. And he was nice about it sounds like.
He was. He was super cool. He had chatted for a little while, I think. If I just decided not come back from the show for a bit.
The Chiefs would have loved that. Like, hey, can you come over here real quick? I'm sure.
You got a few minutes, Matt?
I'm sure they would have loved that. We did have a Chiefs player join us earlier today, though, huh? Jared Wiley. A lot of talk around him after the draft. It sounds like there's reasons to be optimistic about maybe his long-term future here in Kansas City. But could he be a factor in the red zone? So we had Chiefs rookie tight end Jared Wiley stop by from Chiefs training camp. Appreciate you stopping by, man. Good to have you on the show. I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you before. First camp, NFL experience. How are things going so far?
It's been really good. I got a lot of help with a lot of the older guys here. Obviously Coach Melvin is a great tight ends coach. Coach Reed is a great head coach. Just trying to be a sponge right now and just soak up as much information and knowledge as I can. It's kind of the goal.
Andy, take it easy on you. It seems like he scheduled the 10-10-10 at the perfect time.
Yeah,
it's miserably hot outside.
Yeah. That after, 3 really long, hard days was definitely needed.
Yeah, I was going to say, you played at Texas, you played at TCU as well, so I'm assuming you've had some camps, fall practices or something where the weather's been this bad as well.
Oh, this feels great out here.
This is nothing?
Yeah, see, that's the mentality I guess you got to have.
I mean, at Texas we used to practice on the turf field. It'd be about 1:20 on the turf. It's still humid. We would practice at 1:02 in the afternoon. I mean, it was brutal. Kind of similar thing at TCU, except for we were on grass. So, Whenever I come out here in the mornings and it's a little humid, but it's 85 degrees, I'm like, oh, this
See,
is great.
We're complaining over here. We're sitting,
we're
under,
sitting.
We're under a tent. We're here till 2, though, I will say that. But yeah. You guys are running around, and here we are. So it puts things in perspective just a little bit. Also, earlier, my co-host Cody, we were talking about on Friday, he thought he broke his finger. We're like, he didn't break your finger. It's sprained. He went to an urgent care over a swollen finger.
Look, I've got a wife. Like, shouldn't that count for something? She wasn't going to let me just, like, keep being injured forever.
No, I mean, the fingers, though, I don't know if I can be with you on that one.
Oh, wow.
You know, a ball hits a receiver's finger weird, it'll break, or you just got to kind of pop it back into place, and you're good.
That's it? Just move on with my life?
The doctor didn't give him any advice.
I guess that's always it, right? Because you're a professional athlete. Your girlfriend, I think, is like a collegiate athlete. Would she be pro? I'm sorry.
Whoa, okay.
I apologize. Yeah. Last time I saw an interview, they were interviewing her as a college player.
Yeah, yeah,
so that's my bad.
She just signed pro a couple months ago.
Okay, so you're both professional athletes. I'm guessing at some point, but like if you've got something ailing you, doesn't she want you to like make sure you go see the trainer?
Yeah, I don't really speak up on stuff like that, especially to her, because she's definitely – that kind of person who, you know, oh, you need to go get this looked at. You need to know if you're feeling sick, you know, you need to talk to them. And I'm like, I'll be fine. I don't know if it's like a male thing or if it's like, I don't know what it is. But, yeah, she definitely wants me to go get stuff checked out.
Since you mentioned Texas and you played there, we a couple of weeks ago when NCAA football came out, we were talking about that the video games developers didn't let them put horns down. Should they have allowed it in the game? Not is it good or bad? Should they have allowed it in the game? Part of, you know, college football.
I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, A&M's deal with the thumbs up, if you do thumbs down, like, you know, did they put that in the game? If they did, then they should have let the horns down. I don't really have a say-so in it. you know, I try to stay away from that as much as possible.
What was that like? Again, for those who don't know, you were at Texas, but ultimately at TCU as well. So, What was that like? I don't know how much the rivalry is there between the two necessarily, but both were in the Big 12 last year. So at that point in time, was that a weird thing with teammates? Like with the people there at TCU, the horns down thing, was that something they enjoyed? And then you were mixed motions because you were at Texas prior?
No, we didn't. TCU, you never saw like the horns down or anything. I feel like that was more like, you know, obviously like Oklahoma or like
Kansas,
you know,
did it once.
Yeah, West Virginia did it a couple times. But, I mean, I never had, like, any issues with anybody from, you know, TCU, like, you know, talking about Texas or anything like that. I will say this, though, it was especially that my first year at TCU, it was definitely weird going back to Austin to play Texas. That was probably the weirdest I've ever felt, like, going into a game or, like, a week or anything like that.
Speaking of Chiefs tight end Jared Wiley, earlier in practice we saw – quad pass, I don't know what it's called. Mahomes to Tony, back to Mahomes, back to Tony, then to Xavier Worthy. You played high school quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, I've always been told you got to wait a few years before, like, from players, you got to wait a few years before you ask Andy for a pass. But do you itch for the moment that you get to throw a pass in an NFL game?
I am very excited for the opportunity, but I'm not going to bring it up to anybody. I'm in no position
right now. He knows you played high school quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm in no position to, you know, go up to him and be like, hey, you know, you should let me throw that. That's not but whenever it does, if the time does come, it'll go about 70 yards. I'll launch it.
Is there – you've still got a pretty good arm?
Oh, yeah.
Were you a dual threat guy then, I guess? I just think tight end. You must have been, like, the running slash passing quarterback.
Yeah. No, I was definitely dual threat.
Did you get opportunities to play? Like, could you have gone somewhere and played in college quarterback? Or
No, not really. Quarterback's a weird deal, especially coming out of high school. Like, if you want those big offers, you got to play, like, sophomore, junior, senior year. I just started my senior year at quarterback, played tight end the year before that, and then, like, outside receiver, backup quarterback the year before that. So I was so all over the place that nobody, you know, really got to, you know, get a good look, I guess, at what I could do at quarterback. Kind of happy that's how it played out. I don't think I'd be here right now. So
yeah, I think they're set at quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get your first invite to tight end you this year?
Yeah, I did. I had to I couldn't go this year. Still moving into my apartment up here and just having to figure all that stuff out to try to get settled in. But I definitely plan on going next year.
How's Kansas City for you, though? I mean, you mentioned Austin, your time there. Like, what stood out about Kansas City? Have you found a spot or two or a type of food? Obviously, everybody asks about barbecue, but you had that in Texas as well.
Yeah. I mean, I like Kansas City a lot, to be honest with you. It kind of reminds me of Fort Worth a little bit. I loved Fort Worth whenever I was there. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, you kind of have downtown, but outside of downtown, it's kind of, it's open. It's not super crowded. Like, that's what I hated about Austin. It's so crowded everywhere you go. You got to go 45 minutes out of the city just to, you know, have your own space. So I kind of related to Fort Worth in that aspect of things. And so, you know, I think that that's why I like it so much. As far as the food, yeah, I've tried a couple different barbecue spots. Q39 is probably my favorite right now. Other than that, though, I mean, I'm kind of basic whenever it comes to food. Like, I have a guy who does meal prep for me, stuff like that. So other than that, I mean, yeah, I mean, super basic with it.
This could be a chance for a fan to get to know you. Do you have any hobbies outside of football? We always like to ask, just in case there's, like, some – you could play piano for all you know.
No, I'm an avid video game player.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your game? What's your best game? Or give me a couple. That's fine.
So we got, you know, the easy ones like Call of Duty. You know, me and my friends from college, we play FIFA. We play, you know, MLB. Obviously, NCAA is the hot one right now. Just stuff like that. I mean, the list – I mean, there's probably 40, 50 games that we'll get on and play. But, yeah, you know, we all really enjoy just being able to do that with each other and still getting to, you know, chop it up with your guys from back home and, you know, talk about all the stories like you're old heads now.
Jared, appreciate it, man. We know you got to run, get inside, obviously. And welcome to Kansas City, and best of luck this season.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
So that was Jared Wiley joining us a little bit earlier today. All our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. I wish we had some more time even to talk with him. He seems like an interesting guy, good personality as well. We didn't even get into football too much with him overall. But big gamer, someone on the text line said, what's his gamer tag? No clue. I have no idea.
We didn't remember to ask.
I have no clue what the gamer tag is. It sounds like that's something he enjoys. And he says he's basic when it comes to food, but he does have a chef making him food.
Meal prep.
You know.
You think he just gets like whatever that one that accidentally got delivered to your house and you cook?
No, when he says meal prep, I think he has like a real like.
Like a chef.
Yeah. No, what was it? It was like Martha Stewart's.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Accidentally got sent to my door. I told you I made really good tacos that night. Taquitos that night. They were really good.
I haven't ordered since.
Like,
that's why you should cook them. You could just make them.
I could, but I'll be honest. So it was really good. I think, you know. To me, it was like, wow, it took me 12 minutes to eat, and it took me an hour to cook. So I was like,
and you didn't like that ratio.
Yeah, and I mean,
what would you rather be doing with that time, I guess? Because you could have the TV on
just
in the background while you're cooking.
Yeah, just relaxing.
Just hanging
out? Like, you know, I'll admit, like, obviously I should cook more, but at the same time, I still maintain when it's just you, it's one person, sometimes the time is not worth it. If you are in a relationship or whatever, and you're cooking for more than one person, I think then I'm with you where it's like, okay, it's way more not only cost effective, but like I'm not – so my issue is just me and, you know, I'm not a leftover person. So couple just me and not leftovers means I'm not going
to
go spend, you know, $25 to make dinner for that one night for me, you know what I mean, if I'm not doing leftovers.
But I think it's time to start eating leftovers. It's time.
That's a whole family thing, though.
Like, I think that should be your goal for 2025.
Nobody in my family does. Like, that's something that is just bad. Like, I just had pizza last night at I was at Minsky's with a couple people from my family, and there was probably like three slices of pizza left. Really, you know, Minsky's is great. And they're like, "Do you want a box?" I'm like, "No, we're not leftover people." You know, let me just
he's throwing food away.
Well, it's not like I'm proud, but also like
shameful.
I knew. Here's the problem, and I know for a fact because I've done it 100 times.
Leftover pizza is the safest food.
If I would have put it in my fridge last night, it would have sat there for a week. Would have sat there for a week, Cody. I would love to tell you that, I would have had it for dinner tonight. But I wouldn't have. So why take it if I know I'm not going to do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but like.
And I know I'm in the minority here, but
it's like working out. I understand. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, I should work out more. And it's hard to talk yourself into it. I think you should try to talk yourself into eating a leftover. At least some leftovers.
The only food,
I don't like either.
The only food I've ever really done leftovers of. Some Chinese food is very good leftover. And then, like, in the wintertime, like a good. Like, there's, like, this dish. It's, like, a roast with potato dish. I'll do that leftover. And then soups. Other than that, I'm out. But I'm not doing, like, pasta leftovers. I know, like, plenty of people get carry out. That spaghetti and meatball carry out that's leftover would sit in my fridge for a week.
I'm not saying no leftovers ever get wasted in the Tap household. They do.
Someone says.
Some don't hit their rotation.
Yeah.
Some don't sound good in the moment, but we eat plenty of leftovers.
Someone says Minsky's is overrated. I think it's good. It's not. Is it my favorite pizza in the entire city? No, but I'm not a big pizza guy overall. I like that thin cracker crust from Old Shawnee Pizza.
You're a cracker crust guy.
I like that. Pizza Shop, Old Shawnee Pizza, that kind of stuff. But yeah, Minsky's is fine. I can't, you know, in moderation, like sometimes I, you know, want something a little bit different.
Leftover pizza is
Pizza Tostio, obviously. So
I made my kids eat leftover pizza the other night. They were fine.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We have to, I mean, we're just, we were always a leftover family anyway. Just, you know, and there weren't a lot of leftovers.
Yeah, if I have kids ever, like at that point, maybe I have a different view on it, but.
I think if there's more cooking happening in your house, you'll probably have a different view on it.
I would agree.
Although some members of your family must cook.
Yeah.
You're saying the entire Colt family is anti-leftover.
But it's at, like at restaurants, though, the idea, like, go out to eat and then like you're going to eat that same meal tomorrow. Like, we're just not good about that. It would sit in the fridge. I'm just telling you. So why?
I'm more leftover for the food I cook than the
I think, I just listed you. Like, when I've had leftover, it's been more home-cooked stuff. But at a restaurant, I'm bringing it back. It just unfortunately sits there. Anyway, someone says, what about the snow cone? Oh, yeah, we did not have a snow cone for a while late tonight.
I apologize.
I don't think he even was aware of it. So
nah,
it's all good.
And I didn't get one.
Thursday, we're back up here. That's the plan, at least.
I'll get a couple snow cones.
And then we'll see who we get, you know? We'll see who we get.
That's the plan, just as long as it's still nice. Still, I don't know, not rainy outside.
Someone says, how many photos did Cody take of a shirtless player? Over, under two?
Tough call.
I stopped him, otherwise it would have been over. I think it was just under, maybe just two.
Pulls in the way, just one.
How many photos, shirtless photos now of Matt Araiza do you have on your phone?
Just one.
Please delete it. Please delete it, because if you don't, I'm going to reference this in 6 months and be like, show me your phone. Prove that you don't have the photo still.
I just deleted it.
Prove you don't have the photo
still. They're not there anymore. You can't accuse me of continuing to. Gold and I weren't sure at the time whether or not the person out on the field was just like some trainer for the team or an actual player.
That's
because
fair.
I've covered training camp a long time, so have you now. I have seen players out on the field doing work well after practice ends.
This was 2 hours
after. But it
after.
Is almost, and it's usually after a while because you got to wait for meetings to end, but it is almost always with a coach or with another player. They're not just riding solo out here. That person was just doing 80-yard wind sprints.
Yeah,
I'm like,
turned out to be the punter of the Chiefs.
Turned out as the punter. Said he doesn't get enough running in during practice. During practice, mostly, he just stands there or punts, not runs.
Yeah.
He likes to get a run in.
Again, no other punter in the league is doing that, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You should feel good about that.
I think so. That feels, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we got the scoop. Who else had that scoop? If we weren't here until 2 o'clock today, who would know that Matt Araiza was doing sprints?
That's right.
2 hours after practice.
2 years and you guys still have not hit the sleds.
One of these times when I turn around,
It's just not going to move. You're going to hurt. Cody already has a bad finger. Now he's going to have. Cody's going to have a dislocated shoulder. He's going to try to put a shoulder into it. He's going to pop his shoulder out of place. We already found out he didn't break his finger after all that.
Yep.
Thanks to the listener that sent me a photo of Cody in the waiting room.
That's HIPAA.
A listener sent me a photo of Cody in the waiting room on Saturday.
Unbelievable.
And you cut the line to get to the front. Unreal.
I just filled out my paperwork.
Thanks to Q filling in, producing all week long for us. We're back in studio tomorrow. We'll see. It'll be trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. We'll see if the Royals make any other moves. Reminder, George Brett going to be on with The Drive coming up in the 4 o'clock hour today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Cody and Gold. Make sure to follow the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.